are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table. We really do.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski. I cover the Green Bay Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Subscribe to us on YouTube, where we are streaming right now, post game, every game after the game. We will be live on YouTube. Go subscribe to the Locked On Packers page on YouTube. And thank you for making Locked On Packers your first listen of the day every single day. The Green Bay Packers take care of the Washington football team 24-10 in a game that was bizarre. It was encouraging in a lot of ways. It was profoundly weird in a lot of ways. And ultimately, the Packers get the win that they needed. They needed it because this is about to get very difficult on their schedule. And so they need to be banking these wins now. There's just no question about it. So how do you do that? How do you do that when you're banged up? When you're trying to find ways to just ham and egg these wins and losses, when you have your secondary banged up, when your offensive line is banged up, how do you do it in those circumstances? You need to play good situational football. And that is exactly what the Packers did on this day. 4 of 11 on third down defense. They were able to get some big stops on third down. They were also terrific creating opportunities with turnovers. Rashawn Gary gets the sack fumble. Chandon Sullivan with the red zone interception after teams went 15 of 15 in their first 15 tries this season in the red zone. The Packers got a trio of stops. They allowed the Washington team to go 1 of 4 on fourth down. Those are turnovers. You get 3 fourth down stops. Those are turnovers. So when you think about it that way, it's really 5 turnovers created for the Packers. And then they were able to get contributions offensively from not Aaron Jones and from not Devontae Adams. Big Bob Tonyan, he finally gets back in the game, makes a couple big plays, and he has 4 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown. Alan Lazard, all on one drive at the end of the first half to really get the game in Green Bay's favor. He has 5 catches for 60 yards and a score. And then, of course, Devontae Adams, 6 catches, 76 yards and a touchdown. What they were able to do, down bodies. This is what they've been doing this season. And did it make for the most aesthetically pleasing win? Would you have preferred that this game were 34-10, 40-10, something like that? Yeah, you would. And the game started off a little bit problematic for the Packers offensively because they were getting pressure. And this is going to continue to be a thing for the Packers. Now, when they get David Bakhtiari back, you get Elgton Jenkins back at left guard. I think some of this stuff starts to ease up, but you're still going to be starting Josh Myers at center, a rookie, when he gets healthy. You're still going to be starting Royce Newman, a rookie, at right guard. You're still going to have some of these miscommunications. They have to be focusing on that moving forward because teams like the Rams with Aaron Donald, they're going to create advantageous matchups for those guys. And if you don't know where 99 is against the Rams, you're going to have some problems. The Vikings, do they have great interior pass rushers? No. But do they have a group of guys who can push the pocket? And especially Mike Zimmer, who loves to game up pressure. Can he create some havoc for this offensive line? Yes. So that's something that they need to get cleaned up, no question. But for the Packers, we've been focused so much on this red zone defense problem. And it is a problem to get the turnovers. I mean, the interception, the fourth down conversion preventing, let's try and speak English, the fourth down conversion prevention
by this Packers defense. They are probably not going to be able to rely on that week in and week out. It's like 2019 when they got a bunch of interceptions and fumbles and turnovers in the red zone. You can't rely on that over the course of the season, but they've been so unlucky. Like, usually you get a tip and a ball goes up in the air and you're able to pick it off, or a holding call knocks someone out of range and you got to get them to a field goal. Like, those kinds of things over time, they're just going to happen. Like, the Packers had a historically good offense last year and they were 80% in the red zone. So 100% is crazy. It's crazy. It was never going to sustain. To me, this game, I don't think you look at it and you go, okay, this is unsustainable. It is. But that's not the point. This was just a little bit of regressing back up toward the mean of, okay, now they can get some of these stops. I think you take the lid off a little bit. The pressure's gone. You get the stops and it's like, okay, now let's just go out and play defense. And that's what they were able to do in this game. Now, defensively, play to play, this has been very much the inverse of what they were all year. Play to play, not very good. I mean, really not. They gave up over 400 yards of offense to a thoroughly mediocre Washington team. And part of that is, you know, they got really unlucky a couple of times. You know, Rashawn Gary is a whisker away from a sack. It turns into a 38-yard run for Taylor Heinicke, who had 95 yards on 10 carries. You have Jalen Smith, who is a whisker away from a sack. It turns into a touchdown to Terry McLaurin, the only touchdown of the game for Washington. They gave up a lot of yards, but in the red zone, they buckled down and they got some fourth down stock. Eric Stokes, who shadowed Terry McLaurin for a lot of the day, was terrific. Terrific. The one play he gave up was the touchdown, and the ball skills just not quite there. Just not quite there. But he played sticky coverage. Russell Douglas played sticky coverage. Their coverage has been really, really outstanding all season long. And the luck, speaking of luck and regression, Rashawn Gary, 4 QB hits. He had 2 sacks in this game, and it could have been more. It could have been 3 or 4. I mean, it really could have been one of those games where Rashawn Gary is just like, he's got four sacks. Like, he was this close to one of those games. And I bet he gets one this season. I bet he does. He has been so close, and consistently he was winning with speed. He was winning with power. He was winning by knifing inside and tracking down the quarterback. I mean, this Packers front, they played very, very poorly against the run. 195 yards on 29 carries. Now, 10 of those are Taylor Heinicke's. They kept Antonio Gibson to 3.6 yards per carry. So against true runs, the damage was not nearly as bad. They had the trick play, the DeAndre Carter play. If you take out the Taylor Heinicke scramble yards, it's 18 carries for 73 yards. And all of a sudden, it looks like you played a lot better. But I thought their front in the passing game, that's what I was really impressed with. This was a banged up offensive line. And without Preston Smith, without Za'Darius Smith, you go out and you played an extremely talented front. And 4 sacks. You had 9 quarterback hits. You outplayed, or at least you outproduced, this Washington front that is full of first round picks, full of really, really good players. And, you know, you're also, they had 6 passes defended in this game. Eric Stokes had the fourth down one, Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, Chandon Sullivan, and the interception. I mean, you're getting your guys doing the things that you want. Dean Lowry came through. He's been making plays the last month. He has come through and been making plays. And that is what you have to do when your guys are hurt. When your stars are hurt, your other guys have to find ways to come up and make those plays that you need to make when they need to be made. And that's a little bit cliche, but when you have a deep roster the way Green Bay does, and when you have Super Bowl aspirations the way Green Bay does, You're going to get David Bakhtiari back this week, next week, one of those. You think you're going to get Jair Alexander back. Maybe you get Za'Darius Smith back. Maybe you don't, but Preston Smith is coming back. You got Whitney Mercilus, who got some nice pressure in this game as well. I'll be interested to see what the PFF stats say about pressures. I thought he had a handful, winning mostly with power in this game. You're finding guys who are contributing so that when you are fully healthy, Greg Olsen mentioned this during the game, so that when you are fully healthy, all of a sudden you are solid everywhere. You are solid everywhere. And that defensively is what this team needs to be. Now they let Washington get up and down the field a little bit. Now, okay, the Russell Douglas pass interference penalty, terrible. Extended the drive, you get a field goal blocked. The football gods were just in that case. But you gave up some plays. Now, part of that is they played a bunch of man coverage. They were not afraid of these Washington receivers. They played sticky on the back end, but that allowed them to give up the middle of the field, and Taylor Heinicke took off and made them pay. You can't do that against Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray will torch you if that's the way that you play. Now, he's a little banged up, but you got 4 days now to get ready. You need to get that stuff ironed out. And AJ Dillon, I mean, we're just like ticking off the things of like cons from this game. Two fumbles in this game, and you just can't do that. I mean, there's a reason Kylin Hill was in there at the end of the game. You can't, if you're the fourth quarter battering ram, you cannot do that. Just absolutely cannot do that. It just it can't happen. Just cannot happen. Hey, Packer fans, this is an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use the promo code Touchdown to get a bonus of 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up to 50 cents cash back per gallon. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code Touchdown to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on that first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. Cashback gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, e-gift card, Amazon, whatever you want. Add the promo code Touchdown to get up to 50 cents a gallon on that first take. And if you're like me, just about every day you stare into the cabinet going, well, I don't have anything good in the house. If you're a cheesehead, you probably love cheese as much as you love the green and gold. You know how the best part of a grilled cheese sandwich is the cheese that melts off in the pan and gets crunchy? Well, Just the Cheese made a bar out of just that. That's why I started on snacking on Just the Cheese. Just the Cheese brings you cheese, 100% cheese, no fluff, no filler, like you've never had it before, as a salty baked snack. It's cheese and crackers, but without the crackers, which also means without the unnecessary carbs. My favorite, the jalapeno. It's got that spicy, cheesy combo and no complicated recipes or almond flour that makes you feel like you're eating health food. Just natural cheese baked until it's crunchy to give you that great taste of Wisconsin cheese with the crackle of a cracker. And you can find it at Quick Trip. Support two great Wisconsin businesses at once. Wisconsin cheese, Wisconsin business like Quick Trip. What could be better? Aaron Rodgers in this game. Let's talk about it. Because he, you know, I some people get mad when I am critical of Rodgers in specific ways. And during the week, I was critical of the deep passing. He had Tonyan open and I was critical of Tonyan's blocking this week because it's been quite poor. Well, not that the blocking was significantly better, but if you're going to be making impact plays in the passing game, and Tonyan had the 25-yard touchdown, he had the seam ball on third down, he was an impact receiver in this game. If you're getting that, you know, the mid-50s PFF grades in blocking, like, you kind of live. You just live with it because he can win these matchups with Jamin Davis and get open down the field. Beautiful throw on a deep ball. He had Davante Adams when Devontae's not open, but Davante makes a ridiculous catch, 26-yard gain, and you know you're off the shadow of your own goalpost. He was extremely accurate in this game, made good decisions, threw the ball on time, and that's what this offense needs. That's what this offense needs. Without MVS, and we don't know when he's going to be back. You know, he could have come off IR this week. He acted like, oh, I can play, I'm fine. Clearly, he's not in the mix. And my guess is he's not going to play this week either. So you have to find ways to manufacture some down the field stuff. They were able to do it with Tonyan. They've tried it with Lazard. They got him open last week. Rodgers just missed him. And Adams can get down the field as well. We know that. But everyone is going to focus so much attention on Devontae Adams. He still led the team in receiving yards, even with all the attention that he's drawing. But you have to be able to find the other guys. And in this game, you get the massive contributions from Alan Lazard, who took over for a drive. You get two splash plays from Big Bob Tonyan and a touchdown. That's all you need. You just weren't getting those before. Now, I think a difficult balance to walk for this team, playing in identity and wanting to go to these empty looks, because Rodgers is still, I mean, shotgun is one thing. You know, the Tonyan touchdown was from shotgun. But the empty looks, especially early in the game, they just couldn't live in them because they were screwing up these games. Even one of the sacks was a six-man protection on third down, and they just blew the interior game. They just blew the little stunt, and Lucas Patrick blocked no one, and John Runyon Jr. blocked Lucas Patrick. John Runyon Jr. was the guy who got the field goal attempt blocked. They can't block on that. And that's just, you just got beat. That stuff cannot happen. It cannot happen. And so this is when Matt LaFleur always talks about, you know, making the corrections for a win. It's going to bite them in one of these games, unless and until they get it fixed. And maybe it is this week against Arizona. Chandler Jones, you know, J.J. Watt, Hassan Reddick, Hassan Reddick is not there anymore. But they have some guys who can create for them. And you need to be solid there. Now, getting David Bakhtiari back, as I've said many times, it allows you to get better at two spots at once, because you get better at left guard and then you get to compete. Royce Newman and John Runyon Jr. every week in practice would be how I would handle it. But I think Royce Newman right now, they may view it as he's just the guy. And that was something we talked about with Ross Uglum last week, where maybe that they just view him as the guy. He's their right guard. And so he's their right guard. I don't have any expectation that it would play out differently than that. I don't have any, you know, reason to believe it would play out any different than that. John Runyon Jr. only started because Lucas Patrick got hurt and then had to move to center. So, you know, then he seemed to win that job after he played for Lucas Patrick. But they need David Bakhtiari back. And I think that helps in multiple ways. I think it helps your run game because then Jenkins is the guard, and it helps in your pass protection. So they probably feel pretty good. Plus, you look at their upcoming slate, you know, the Cardinals have the one really good edge rusher in Chandler Jones. And J.J. Watt has played pretty well. I mean, it's not like he's been, you know, defensive player of the year, J.J. Watt, but he's been really good for them. And that defense is good. But outside of Chandler Jones, I mean, it's Marcus Golden, it's Devon Kennard. They don't have those top end pass rushers. The KC defense is a complete disaster. I mean, it's a complete disaster. Minnesota has the one edge rusher, you know, the Rams, the Packers already handled that offense, that defensive front. Now Aaron Donald was hurt in that game, but they don't have edge rushers either. So if it's just one guy, it's a lot different. By Football Outsiders, this was the toughest slate of defenses until this game that the Packers had faced all season. It was Green Bay had the toughest slate. And so I think that affects how you're playing, how you call your game. And I think for the Packers to be as in the position that they are, to be, you know, record-wise where they are, to be 6-1 through seven games with all those injuries, it is a credit to the offense, the defense. It is a credit to the leadership on this team, the coaching. They're getting the play that they require when they require it. Now, is that going to be enough on a short week going to Arizona to play an undefeated Cardinals team as of this recording? Don't know. That's something that you know, only we don't have a crystal ball. And that's not the point of these shows anyway. but the offense is finding ways. They're finding ways to make this work without MVS, without the deep threat. And the run game was not successful in this game. I mean, Aaron Jones, 6 carries for 19, AJ Dillon, 3 for 6. And this is after they had gained rushing yards every game. Every game they had added rushing yards to their total, but they get EQ on a jet sweep for 13. You know, they found ways to get Aaron Jones the ball in the passing game. Randall Cobb had a couple targets. Mercedes Lewis had a couple targets. They were getting a little bit of everyone mixed into this passing game. And Rodgers, 27 of 35 for 274, 3 scores, a 128 passer rating. It's really good. This secondary is not very good, but that's really good. And he is taking the checkdowns. They're finding the ways to get their playmakers the ball in space, the RPOs, even if it's just, all right, throw it out there on the screen. They did it to Alan Lazard, gets a great block from Tonyan, and it's a big play. You get it out there to Davante Adams, and he gets 4. Okay, well, now the defense has to account for that. And at some point, they're going to run the bubble go and probably hit a big play on it. They've tried it. It didn't work, but they're going to go back to it. They're going to try it again. They tried a jet sweep, Amari Rodgers' wheel out the back door. Washington had it covered, but they're going to go back to that play too. And so they were able, I think finding a way to have a good offense when your run game isn't working, and Matt LaFleur gets a little gun shy about calling play action when the run game isn't working, which is something that I wish he would not do, but it is something that he does. Then you have to find these other ways, and it's the quick passing game. You get just enough of the downfield passing game to make this all work. And you still, the play action, they haven't been able to make any of the boots work. Some of those bread and butter plays are not working around the league right now. And Green Bay, they're finding some answers here. Teams are going to try them a little different every week. And so they're going to have to find these answers, and they're going to have to come from guys on the team, because it doesn't look like, you know, there's not many teams who are just giving up on the season. Not many options. Now, maybe you go get Brandon Cook, someone like that. If that's on the table, we don't even know if that's on the table, but their offense with Aaron Rodgers, who is playing just light years better than he did in week one. Since then, he has been really good. Taking what is given to him, and accuracy wise, I thought this was his best game by far. His best game by far. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have so many great choices, so many great opportunities for you to find something that you are going to like. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy. These are soft, covered in 100% real chocolate. They're low carb, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. And they still come in flavors like salted caramel, double chocolate, cherry barcia. And this month, Built is coming out with a new limited time flavor every 3 to 4 days. So check the website often. You don't want to miss out. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKS15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKS15 for 15% off at built.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for other stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, I want to end the show talking about Eric Stokes. A lot of questions and mostly comments in the chat here on YouTube about Eric Stokes. Unbelievable performance so far this season. Not just this game, so far this season. They matched him up on Jamar Chase on a number. When they would go man, Eric Stokes was getting the assignment. He was following Jamar Chase. He wasn't following Darnell Mooney, but he matched up a ton with Darnell Mooney against the Bears, the deep threat. And in this game, again, they didn't match him every down, but a lot of the game, Eric Stokes was matched on Terry McLaurin, and yes, he gave up the touchdown. He also had the PBU on fourth down where he's in Terry McLaurin's jersey. This kid has been for a rookie corner. What do I always say? Most rookies are bad, and almost all rookie cornerbacks are not just bad. A lot of them end up being unplayable. Like if you had better options, you would want to play them. And like, even if they were like, maybe a little worse, you still want to play them because it's such a roller coaster for these rookies. Nothing has been too big for Eric Stokes. Nothing. He is getting top level assignments. And the guys that he's playing, Ja'Marr Chase, look at what Ja'Marr Chase did to Marlon Humphrey. Look at what Ja'Marr Chase did to Marlon Humphrey on Sunday. Unbelievable. 200 plus yards, big plays, run after catch. He didn't do that to Eric Stokes. He didn't. And Darnell Mooney had been the number one producer in the Bears offense. Didn't do anything against Eric Stokes. And in this game, Terry McLaurin, he got him on the touchdown, a play that really should have been a sack for Rashawn Gary, or for Jalen Smith, excuse me. And he just slightly misplays the ball. That's the one thing. That's the one thing. Heinicke laid up an out route to the field early in the game. And Stokes played the man, played McLaurin, I believe. And he was right there to contest it at the catch point. But he's fast enough and explosive enough that if he plays that ball, he can undercut it and it's six. I mean, it's six. It's out the door, six. The ball skills are just not quite there. And remember, this is a guy who was a running back in high school. Corner is still a relatively new position for him, and he's getting better. I mean, that was something we talked to Oliver Davis at the Leap. He said, you know, the ball skills, and they have improved over time. AJ Dillon worked on his, and it's not just catching. He doesn't have bad hands. The problem is not that the hands aren't good. It's tracking the ball. It's finding it. And it is associating, okay, ball, hand, your brain needs to be wired to make those plays. And he just doesn't quite have the reps. If he gets that part of his game, he can be a star, like a star. Not just a good player, not just a nice guy to have across from Jaire Alexander. He can be a for real bona fide star cornerback because athletically he is so gifted. He is staying with everyone. He contests, he fights hard, he tackles. It is incredible to see. That's the good. The bad. Reed points this out, and I wanted to get to it. The blocked field goal. The special teams continue to be a problem. And there is no end in sight for this. No solution that I can see other than execute better. Now, the coverage was pretty good. You have a very dangerous returner back there on kickoffs. And they covered. They stayed in their lanes. They tackled pretty well. You know, Bohorquez did not have a busy day, had that unbelievable, you know, 58 degree wedge punt that hits at the one and comes back that they got right after a little discussion. The punt game is solid. The coverage was solid, but this kick game, man, I mean, and Greg Olsen pointed it out. The kick that got blocked, I'm not sure if that goes in anyway. He's sort of like Mason Crosby once every couple of weeks, like knuckles one. He tries to, the ones that are close up, he kind of babies. And I don't have an explanation for it. I don't know why he does it, but they got to get that figured out. Now, remember 2010, this is the analogy that Rodgers has made. Special teams was a problem in 2010 too. Remember the end of the Falcons regular season game or the end of the first half? And they get a long kick return and you're just sort of like, come on. Similar feel. And this is much like the red zone defense. If you just tighten some of that stuff, if you just are average, just get to average, don't be elite. You don't have to be elite. Just be average in the red zone. This defense can be a top 10 defense. Just be average in the red zone. Just be average blocking. Don't give up multiple blocked kicks. Don't biff on makeable field goals. And this offense is going to be great. This is going to be a really, really, really good team. This can be a contending team. some of this stuff needs to get tightened up, and it needs to get tightened up in a hurry because they are facing the meat of their schedule. There is no let up here, really. I mean, this is the upcoming schedule. At Cardinals on a short week. At Kansas City. Now, is Patrick Mahomes even going to be ready for that game after the hit he took today? I don't know. We'll see. Home versus Seahawks. Not sure if Russell Wilson's going to be there for that game. At Minnesota. Home for Rams. Home for the Bears. At Baltimore. Home for the Browns. Home for the Vikings. And then you close at Lions. That's the rest of the schedule. That is tough. Every single one of those games is against a team that is either going to make the playoffs or thinks they should make the playoffs. That's tough. It's tough. And that's why banking these wins was really important. Now, they can win every game left on their schedule. But that doesn't mean they're going to, and they probably won't. They're not going to go 16-1. But some of this stuff, this is why if they lose, it's going to be because, you know, the Rams go 5 for 5 in the red zone or something. Or because Baltimore on special teams is just so much better than them. Like those are the margins in the NFL. And these things that they need to get tightened up, they are the difference in against better teams. They're the difference between winning and losing. And they're gonna find that out really soon. They need to get those things tightened up. Now the good news, red zone defense figured it out. They started to get some stops. A little bit lucky, yes. But fourth down stops are fourth down stops. I mean, the Adrian Amos PBU, that's real. The Eric Stokes PBU, that's real. That's just getting stops. That's not fluky. Nothing fluky about that. That is replicable. And this coverage unit has been great all season long, especially when they play man coverage. The problem is against a team like the Cardinals with Kyler Murray, really tough to do. And Eric Stokes, the hits keep coming, man. You got to play DeAndre Hopkins in 4 days. Get ready. Ice up and let's go. We're going to be back tomorrow. An altered schedule this week. We will go live after the game on Thursday. We will go live after the Thursday game and still have our normal. Zayu Duin will still be here. Crossover will still be here. We'll figure out how we need to play the rest of it. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. However you get podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to hit us up on the Locked On Packers fan hotline, you can do that. 920-341-3775 to stay Locked On Packers.